Hello and welcome to the Geek Embassy Plays Pathfinder. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and I'm here with the vast majority of the staff of the Geek Embassy, and we are going to play some D&D. And I have to admit, this is my first campaign ever.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Regina, but we're not playing D&D. We're playing totally not D&D.
We're playing Pathfinder. You can play D&D. You can be off in your corner playing D&D.
You know, really playing not Pathfinder. D&D. I am totally good with playing on my own.
It's okay. We're going to be rolling our 20-sided dice over there. You can roll your d20s over wherever you are.
Right, exactly.
Totally different.
Completely different things. Mm-hmm. So yes, this is my first role-playing campaign. Is that better, purists?
Better, yes. I'll accept it.
All right. So I'm going to be learning quite a bit as we explore Pathfinder and the story that our DM, Evan...
That is me. I am the DM of this lovely campaign.
Has set up for us. So, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Evan. And for this first episode, he's going to kind of introduce us to the scenario. We're going to talk a little bit about our characters. And we're going to kind of just get everything set up and build the excitement for our story.
Welcome to Pathfinder. This is the story of four intrepid adventurers on their way to find a new path for their life to take. They've recently finished some adventuring here and there across the world, and they've been looking for new opportunities, new potential for exploration and discovery and self-improvement and all kinds of other things like that. And our story begins with them trudging their way down a long and arduous road, the old Russet Road, in the midst of the vast wood, a grand open wilderness stretching miles and miles in all directions, well beyond civilization, and between the capital city of Gildenwall and the small town of Iverstead in the middle of nowhere. And the woods are deep and dark, and as I said, far from civilization. They are, the trees are tall and the brush is thick. There are many wild creatures all around in all directions, and they are well and truly alone at the present moment. So, band of adventurers, describe yourselves, please. What are you doing here, and who are you?
I think we should let our new campaigner introduce herself first. I want you to have the honor.
All right, thank you. I am Nereden Runka, and I am looking for adventure. Surprise, surprise. I am a barbarian, and I'm a dwarf, and I grew up in a giant family. No pun intended. I had 10 siblings, and I was smack in the middle of all of those other kids. And I've always felt like I was overshadowed by my older siblings, in part because I was the middle child, but also because I'm sort of small of stature for a dwarf. I'm a little on the short side, even for a short race, and a little thinner than I would normally than a dwarf would normally be. So I was kind of overlooked and a little on the introverted side, just naturally. I left my family with the idea that I was going to become a great adventurer and become a fantastic hero, but I'm still waiting for that to become my reality.
Cool. I like it. Who wants to go next?
Why don't you go next, Dante?
Oh, well, I was hoping somebody else could go next, but I guess I can too. All right. My name is Savarka Sunseeker. I am a gnome sorceress, because if you've read my article published on the Geek Embassy last week, you'll know that I really like playing female characters. Hashtag shameless plug. She is...
Hashtag, thank you.
Hashtag no problem.
Hashtag,
hashtag stop talking in hashtag.
So
you don't have hashtag the Pathfinder.
Oh god. This isn't Nom Dante. There are rules. Nobody? The Big Lebowski? Nobody? Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Anyways. Continue.
Okay. All right. So Zavarka is a cheerfully optimistic, orange-skinned, green-haired gnome. And she describes herself as a professional nomad. She's been wandering for quite some time and loves meeting new people. She's a friend to all, but her delightful facade hides a deep, dark family secret. As generations ago, a dragon had assumed gnomish form and bedded one of the Sunseeker family progenitors. The eldest-born daughter of every single Sunseeker generation has manifested aspects of dragons and inherited magical talents. Zavarka is the first-born daughter of her generation, and she wanders around, perceiving herself to be a danger to everybody that she comes across, hoping to discover the origins of her draconic blood and what that means for the legacy of her clan.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I've done this before.
Clearly. All right, Mark, what about you?
I am Hargath, a reformed murderer and thief. I became a member of Saren Rae's order after a cleric that was part of that order spared me and showed me pity and brought me into the light. Because of that, I started my cleric... My path as a cleric later in life. So he's a middle-aged human. He has long, shoulder-length blonde hair that's going gray now. He's recently had a falling out with the church he was based out of due to finding that the chief priest there had been embezzling funds for his own purposes.
Oh, no.
And he's now looking to find adventurers that he can travel with in hopes of finding a new church and helping anyone he can along the way. Whether that means healing people or bringing evildoers to the light or smiting those that won't, it doesn't really matter to him.
All right.
Excellent.
And other fellow newer to role-playing campaigns, Isabella.
Okay. So I'm newer, but I have done this like once before. So,
so you're less new than Regina,
right? I'm the noob, first class, full on noob.
Okay, so I'm playing Freya Redsun, who is a half elf ranger. Freya is a half elf that is striking out on her own after clashing with her full elvish mother one too many times. She wants to find out who she is without the influence of her family, and she's never really gotten the chance to do anything on her own. So she's just going out and having an adventure and seeing where that takes her.
Very good.
That's it.
Awesome.
And I am the DM. I will be playing everybody else.
Yeah.
This wonderful world.
Good luck with that.
You'll be the man of many hats.
That's the only reason I do this. Mm-hmm. So, let's get right into it then, shall we?
Okay.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first segment of our Pathfinder introductory, letting you know, getting to know you characters and setting for our Pathfinder adventure. Keep an eye out for our series and all the episodes on the Geek Embassy.
Good evening, and welcome to our first episode of this amazing Pathfinder campaign. We begin our story in the midst of the old russet road in the middle of the vast wood, a vast expanse of deep, dark, thickened woods and all manner of wilderness in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And our main group of adventurers are on this road, the only real road that runs through this vast expanse of wilderness. They've come on this road seeking opportunity. They've heard rumors that on this road occasionally brigands and bandits and highwaymen can be found raiding the caravans that occasionally come through, or the occasional random traveler who is simply trying to go from Gildenwall to Iverstead. And so far on this journey, several days in, most the better part of a week, they've not yet encountered any particular resistance, though definitely sign of recent travel has occurred. They find themselves in the midst of absolutely nowhere. 10 days journey into this excursion, and they discover that an encroaching darkness is coming of a coming storm as the clouds begin to get dark and the trees begin to rustle with the increased wind, and flickers of lightning appear on the horizon, and they find themselves soon having difficulty seeing the path before them as the darkness encroaches even further, and the clouds begin to darken even more, and the storm is clearly about to hit.
All right. Oh,
it's raining.
It's raining. I don't like getting wet. My axe may rust.
Many people like getting
rain. My axe may rust. We got to get out of this rain, guys.
Okay. Well, is there? I'm looking around. Looking around for like a grove or a thicket or something, you know, some little hollow that we can all get into. Maybe there's a giant redwood tree that we can that we can huddle underneath or something. Do I get to roll perception?
A survival check.
Well, my survival sucks, but I'm gonna roll it anyway. It's gonna be great. Ranger, this is where you should be doing.
Oh.
Ranger. Ranger.
Can I roll?
Ranger, do some ranging.
For yes. Something?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know what I'm rolling, actually.
You are rolling your survival skill, which is a d20 plus whatever your modifier is.
D20. Modifier for
survival.
For survival.
So, which should be wisdom. your ranks plus your wisdom.
Oh. Okay, plus 6.
Sound.
So. Does that sound okay? 16 with the modifier.
Awesome.
You see, there doesn't really seem to be much in the way of any kind of shelter from the storm. This wilderness is so densely overgrown. This path that you're walking on is pretty much the only cleared area. There's thicket and briars and shrubs and everything that the woods around you are all but impassable. It's pretty much just the road, and anything else would take some serious work to clear.
Interesting. Well, I mean, there's only one of us here who can feasibly go ahead and clear out a path, but...
I guess that would be the barbarian.
With the giant axe.
The giant axe. Okay, so I need to take a swing at some trees?
Maybe. It's an option that we have.
Should I chop down some trees? I'm good with that.
Why should we work to create a path when we're already on one?
When we can just take the road? That's what I was thinking.
And we know where this road leads. We don't know where a path that we may cut into the wilderness.
Right. Okay.
I was just presenting options.
I say we take the road. It's here, guys.
Okay. Well, let's boogie then.
All right. Can we run?
Choose to take the road?
Yes.
Okay.
I say yes.
Let's take the road.
You continue onward. The winds pick up even more, and you start to feel the rain fall.
Pull up my hood on my cloak and wrap it around myself.
The rain comes even harder.
I have full armor right now, so I had a hood.
You can hear the armor... like tinking with every drop of rain that hits on it, and it's like a tin roof. It just hits harder and harder. And
my axe is getting rusted, guys. We need to go someplace.
You see the solid sheet of rain come, as you do with a storm when it finally arrives, where just a sheet of rain comes directly at you, and what was previously just a simple sprinkle is now a torrent of rain. And you feel water dribble down your body and soak through every bit of your clothing. It's a miserable experience. You're trudging on mud. The wind is lashing at you, branches are flying at your face from where they've fallen off the trees nearby, and you can hear the creaking of these gigantic oak trees as they sway back and forth in the breeze. But you continue onward, your steps get slower as you're hindered by the elements, but as you finally feel like you're about to give up, like you've made the wrong choice and you should have made shelter somewhere, you see a light just barely visible in the distance ahead of you.
I'll race you.
I run for it.
I say, like, I'm not even kidding. She's going.
Yeah,
I'm
just you run going. And you feel the mud going shloop, 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 as your feet just slurp into the ground. And just it's been a while since it's rained, so at first the ground just kind of the water just puddled on top of it, but it's begun to seep in, and now there's a genuine just muck all over the place, and it's miserable, and you slip and fall on it a couple of times, but finally you approach, and at last you see this swinging on a hook. You see a lantern outside of a building that you hadn't even seen before, a sort of a ramshackle two-story building, and as you approach it, you see a porch and a main door that's been sort of locked down for the weather, but you see lights on in the windows inside.
Okay.
Somebody with higher charisma than me has to go knock on the door. What?
Oh, no, I don't actually have good charisma. I just want to get out of the rain. Can I just run onto the porch and wait for you guys?
You run under the porch, but you find that it's not that much protection from the rain because it's the wind is blowing it sort of horizontally, and so even though you're underneath
where we go.
Porch, it's still kind of hitting you right in the face, and it sucks.
All right, who's gonna knock on the door?
Dibs.
It's not gonna be me. Knock. I got no charisma.
I got this, guys.
Okay.
You knock on the door, and you wait a few minutes, and then you don't really hear anything, but then you knock on it again, and finally, the door sort of swings open and smashes against the wall. The wind's blown it completely open when it opened just a little bit. And you
get in!
You see standing in the doorway, all huddled under this big coat, a small halfling male who sort of ushers you in and says, come in, hurry up, it's terrible out here, come on in. He just ushers you in.
Okay.
All right. So excited to be inside now.
One by one, you enter the inn, and you can see it's an inn as you enter the door. There's sort of a countertop over here and some seating arrangements by a fire, and he slams the door shut behind you and latches it again, and he's like, whew, well, I wasn't expecting to see any visitors here at this time of night on a night like this. Well, welcome. You've come to the halfway inn. It's in this nice little town, the Vagabond's Rest. I'm sure you've heard of it if you went on this path. It's the only real outpost on this whole trail. You're lucky to be here at this time. I wouldn't want to be out on the trail at this time of night on a night like this. Welcome. Come on in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We're chilled to the bone.
Yes.
Like, is there a fire?
By all means, come to the fire. Come to the fire. Tibby, would you make him something hot to drink? He speaks to the maid at the corner of the counter, and she rushes to the kitchen to begin putting some stuff together for you. And he's like, come in, sit down. Here, have some chairs. I'll push them right up by the fire for you. Settle down. I'm glad to see you all are all safe and sound. Will you be needing lodging for the night? Of course you will. What a silly question. I'll have the maid get to work setting up some rooms for you. We'll work on payment later, and it's not a concern at the moment. Just take care of yourselves. Sit down. So what brings you all out to these parts on a night like this, after all?
We're wandering adventurers.
Wandering adventurers? Why, that's always a pleasure to see. Normally we don't get much more than caravans through here, and they're not usually the most interesting sort of people, but adventurers, that's always nice. But we haven't had any of those in a while. The last time it was actually a rather unfortunate lot, kind of rude and ungainly gentleman. But they're gone now, so it's all fine.
Well, we promise that we will not be ungainly.
We'll be quite gainly.
My name is Savarka, and you are?
Oh, Tom Goldmeadow, at your service. That's me wife, Tibby Goldmeadow.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Goldmeadow. I really appreciate your services and your kindness tonight. We owe you a great debt of thanks.
Oh, nonsense. It's what we're here for, after all. There's
After all, it is the only real place to stay out here and out in the wilderness. We don't get many visitors anyway, so it's nice to see friendly new faces.
Wonderful. Is there anything that we can do for you in exchange for your kindness?
You quite literally
saved our lives.
Oh, it's nothing, like I said. Just relax, take a load off. Like I said, we'll work on payment later. It's no particular rush. But I do believe that gentleman over there might have use for some adventurers like yourselves. And he kind of points to this man who you noticed him as soon as you walked in the door. He's very hard to miss. He's a large, portly gentleman with a long, elegant forked beard, dressed in all kind of finery. He has gold rings on his fingers and an elaborate headdress, and he looks very out of place in a place like this. And standing beside him is something that even looks more out of place, is a 6-foot-tall wooden construct that looks like a person but is completely made of wood and is moving around and tending to some of his needs right in front of him.
That would look out of place most anywhere.
Yeah, what unnatural powers are going on here? I'm a little suspicious of this. My character is not comfortable with moving wooden people.
Okay, well, I am weirded out, but I'm not dealing with it right now because I'm still soaked. So I'm going to go ahead and go to my room by myself without any of you and get out of my clothing and just get into a, you know, some sort of a bearskin pelt or something that's nice and warm and dry.
Fine. Why don't you just ditch us?
I will.
Orca.
You know,
some people.
Rule number one, don't split up the party. And I'm violating it right now.
I know. I'm like, okay.
Well, as you get up there, you find the room has already been, in the short time that you've been there, it's already been more or less put together. Tibby, the who seems to be a multi-purpose maid and a fellow owner of this establishment, she's gone in and already made your beds up really nice and set you out a clean set of dry clothing for you to change into, and it's all well accommodated for you.
Fantastic. I get myself changed. Yay, I'm changed.
Yay. How about Tom, the rest of you?
Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to dry my armor and my weaponry off. Is there somewhere that I can get a towel or something that I can...
Oh, certainly, certainly. I'll go to the kitchen and get you a towel. Get you a few towels.
Okay, great, thank you.
I'll be right back. And he just sort of bustles away into the kitchen and comes back a few minutes later with some dish towels and various sort of rags and things that are clean, but
fantastic.
Obviously
thank
not
you.
Designed for the specific purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're going to take a lot of effort. All right, then I'm going to stand by, or Nira's going to stand near the fire and do her best to dry off her weapons and her armor to make sure they don't rust or have anything bad. She's a little obsessive about taking care of her equipment.
Okay.
Wants it to be in good shape. So I'm going to work on that.
I wonder if I might have a cup of tea and... what do you have in the way of a meal?
Oh, certainly. We have plenty of tea. I believe there's already some on the stove. Food, we've got some venison. We've got some good venison we just got the other day. Got potatoes. Tibby makes a really nice onion stew. I'll ask her to have some of that as soon as she's done setting up your rooms.
Venison and the soup sounds delicious.
Oh, perfect, perfect. I'll bring you out some as soon as it's ready.
Can you bring out some?
I have the same. Yeah.
I called out from the stairs. Me too.
That's metagaming
from upstairs.
You went to bed without your dinner.
Yep.
No, I'm coming back downstairs. I just didn't want to get naked in front of everybody.
No soup for you.
No soup
for
you.
Oh, God, no. Not Seinfeld in the D&D world.
Too late.
Don't. Yeah.
I couldn't help it.
That's okay. I love Seinfeld.
I know, me too.
So he gets to work and he joins Tibby in the kitchen and they prepare some stuff for you. And soon there's bowls of
large, generous bowls of piping hot potato and onion stew, and it tastes delicious. And there's some nice, fresh smoked venison that is also delicious, and it's served with a large loaf of homemade bread, which is a bit past its prime, but it's still pretty good.
I put my face in all of it. And, yeah.
It was a delicious meal, all of us.
Beautiful.
Tom?
Yes,
thank
sir.
You for the meal. You were saying that gentleman over there would like to hire somebody. Do you have any idea what type of work he's looking to hire?
Well, I don't know. I don't try to butt into people's business more than I have to. I just know he came in with a large group of definitely people in your line of work. Not that I'd want to assume too much about your line of work, but with people who are skilled and who are capable of dealing with conflict, I would say, and a large number of them sent him out into the wilderness after something. I don't know what. But they've not come back, and he's been here for the better part of a week, and I know he's getting rather antsy about it.
Uh-oh. Well, that doesn't sound too good.
Mm-mm.
Do you know how many he sent out?
About a dozen.
Which way they go?
About a dozen. I would say they were probably mostly mercenaries. They had that look to them, you know, of private armed forces, I would say. Hirelings.
Uh-huh.
Were they wearing similar uniforms? Like,
a few of them were. A few of them looked to be possibly actual soldiers. Not that I'm so well acquainted with what that even looks like. But a few of them do. They had the crest of Gildenwall on their uniforms, and he wears some of the garb that he wears. I would say is Gildenwall nobility. I would assume. But again, I don't like to assume.
Royal Guard?
All
the way out here?
Did all 12 of the men head out together in the same direction, or did they break up into smaller parties and go in different directions?
Well, they all went at once. They were clearly there for some sort of purpose. I don't know what. It's his business. So if you want to know more, you'll have to ask him, because I only know that he came with a group of about a dozen people. They all went out, and I think they took the river. I believe they chartered a boat. There's boats. If you need to charter a boat, there's a little dock down by the river. There's a little place where you can rent boats. And they rented a boat, a large boat, and did not come back.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yes.
My pleasure. Can I get anything else for any of you?
Just the bill for the meal.
Oh, I'll just put it on your tab for the rest of your stay. It's no rush.
All right, then.
Okay.
All right, people. I think we have an adventure sort of working at the corners here.
Yeah.
I might be the front person in the fighting, but I'm not the front person in the talking.
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to go over and find out what our wood tinkering guy is up to here? Potential royal guard.
This guy
does not look like a guard. He looks like...
Well, okay.
He looks like nobility.
Like I said, he's a very portly, like aristocratic looking man.
Oh, okay, sorry, I was mistaken.
Yeah, I'm thinking Henry VIII.
Yes. With a fork.
But with a 6 foot tall wooden person.
Right, animated wooden person. It's still making me very nervous.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I'll go over there with you.
Okay.
I don't want you to agreeing anything without at least one of us over there to...
Yeah, I don't think all of us should go over there. I think that would be kind of intimidating. I think if Freya and I kind of hang back here, I think we're the fighters, the more obvious fighters. I think it'd be better if we sort of observe and you guys take it on.
Yeah, you go ahead and you polish, you know, your metal things, whatever
Thank
they're
you.
Called. I don't know.
I'm just going to hang out by the fire.
Yes.
Yay! I'm going to walk over.
He doesn't even look up. She's sort of... She's
just
sitting there. He's obviously found the most comfortable chair in the entire room and is kind of just occupying it. Like, when you guys were brought in,
they kind of put some of the kitchen tables and stuff like, or not the kitchen tables, but the kitchen chairs, pushing them up by the fireplace. Uh-huh. He was already by the fireplace, so he's not that far away from you. And he's kind of like sitting in this armoire, like a large armchair, and he's just sort of kicking back, sort of reading a book, a glass of wine in one hand, just sort of sipping at it casually. He doesn't even really look at you.
Oh. Quite an evening we're having tonight, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Well, I mean, the weather kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it?
I believe it came out of the sky, but yes.
Oh, you're a sharp one, sir. Very, very, very good. See, have you been around these parts long? Are you just passing through?
My boy, do I strike you as the sort of man who lurks around in parts like these when one can avoid it? Of course not. This is not exactly my forte. I, of course, come from Gildenwall, born and bred. Well, I might add, I am a person of some importance there, and I don't exactly enjoy being in these sorts of areas very much.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear of your troubles, sir.
Some things must be done.
So, is there anything that is keeping you here? Keeping a man of your stature and nobility? Clearly, you're not here because you want to be.
But business, of course. Is there any other reason to do anything these days?
Okay. he sort of looks up at you for the first time and kind of takes you in and kind of cranes his head around and looks at the others and he's like,
I say, you look like a rather capable lot. What brings you out here?
We were out adventuring. We just got finished with another adventure. We went into a cave, got a bunch of goblins taken out of there, saved town. Everybody's happy.
Ooh, that's kind of what we do. That's fascinating. And you're looking for new employment options, are you?
I mean, we are kind of the Soldiers of Fortune type.
Well, that's fascinating. I believe we do have something to speak about after all. Please, pull up a chair near me. Let's see, Davenport. Give them some of our good wine, why don't you?
And you look as this automaton, a panel in his chest opens up, and you see a bottle of wine and a rack of glasses inside his chest. He pulls one out, pours a glass, and hands it to you.
Only tea for me, thank you.
Suit yourself.
I go ahead and I swish it around and sniff it, making it look like I know what I'm doing, but I absolutely have no idea what I'm doing.
Roll a charisma check.
I will roll bluff on this one. It's going to be great. Roll bluff. Oh my god, I can't wait. This fails so hard. Oh, you are not going to believe this. I just rolled a natural 20.
You hold it with this air of absolute authority, and he just kind of looks at you and nods in approval, and you swear that this automaton also kind of looks at you with approval. This wooden construct just looks at you like you know what you're doing.
And he's like, Well, I can see you're a man of good taste, indeed. This is my finest wine. I take it with me everywhere. One must bring culture with one when one goes to places such as this where culture is not to be had.
Yes. Well, I mean, I am a lady of good taste. I know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of bear skin covering.
It's hard for me to tell with your people.
Bear in mind, guys, like, the fact that I rolled a natural 20 on wine tasting means I'm going to severely mess up on something later in the campaign.
Of course.
You are the weakest link.
You don't want to use them all up on those.
Oh, it's going to be great. Anyways.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Rukior, the Antiquarian, and this is my domestic golem, Davenport.
Very pleased to meet your acquaintance. I reach out a hand as if to shake it or something.
He reaches out a large, meaty, ring-encrusted hand and shakes your smaller, gnomish hand, and he sort of just looks at you and he's like,
"Now, as antiquarian to the king, I have a very particular set of responsibilities, you understand? I'm in charge of taking care of being the official royal caretaker of the Royal Antiquity Vaults, as well as the city catacombs, which is, of course, a very important job."
"Of course, and of course.
As royal antiquarian, it is my responsibility to keep track of items of particular cultural, religious, magical, historical significance. The royal vaults are extensive and contain relics from eons past. They particularly valuable gifts given by other nations, all manner of things."
"A master curator, it seems like you are."
"Indeed, it's an invaluable position I take. It doesn't get as much respect as some of the other areas of nobility, but such is the way things are. Life is not fair."
"Well, my liege, I am fascinated."
"Indeed, it's fascinating stuff, I must say." Part of my responsibility involves learning about other antiquities that are worthy of capture and reclamation that have been lost over the years. And my sources have informed me that there is a particular item to be found somewhere in the vast world. I've been looking for it, well, not looking for it myself, having people look for me for several years. We've not had much luck. Until recently, we've learned of an old ruin somewhere in the wilderness that was discovered by trappers a few years ago. It's said to be haunted. It's a terrible, frightening place. But it is believed that this particular relic can be found there, and it is to be found and reclaimed and brought back to the royal vaults so that it can be kept in a place of protection. Not protection for it, but protection from it."
"Protection from it?"
"Yes, this item is very dangerous. If it were to fall into the wrong hands, it could be devastating."
"I mean, what is it? Is it a weapon?"
"It's called the Void Scythe of Haramain. It's a deadly weapon, capable of reanimating the dead and bringing them to life and causing all manner of death and destruction. It's a deadly weapon on its own, and it can kill with a touch. It destroys living creatures with a blink of an eye. It's deadly. I've been put in charge of its reclamation. It belongs in the Royal Antiquity Vaults. Where it is right now, I believe it has fallen into the hands of a deadly necromancer."
"Well, that doesn't sound too good, and I can understand why you want it back so badly."
"Indeed.
Sounds very
You have to understand, a necromancer on their own are a terrible lot, but one with the power to reanimate dead at will on a large scale, ever so much more frightening."
"For every one generation of the living, there are 10 more of the dead. I understand the importance."
"Yes. So, I came here overseeing a large expedition to recover this relic, and we've sent a dozen armed men, the best money can buy, and some of my own personal guard after this item. So far, none of them have returned, and I fear the worst."
"Well, sometimes you need a woman to do a man's job."
"Indeed."
"Sorry, I had to." Anyway.
"Well, we do have 3 women in our group, so girl power.
So,
and it's something I never occurred to think of. I should have accounted for that. Otherwise, I have a few women under my employ, you understand. Not typical."
"Well, I think we may be able to go ahead and come to some sort of arrangement. Let me go ahead and confer with my compatriots, and we'll see what they think. I don't want to speak for all of them, but you do have me very, very interested.
Excellent. And I can say there will be good coin in it for you. If you do achieve this, I do have at my disposal quite a few funds.
Fantastic. That's, I practically skip it back over to the group. So, there's a necromancer, and they've got this weapon that's going to go ahead and raise armies of the dead. And he wants to go get it back for him, so what do you think?
Hargath, I want to know what your read on him is as our cleric and our man of the cloth. I want to know what you're thinking about this guy and his animated golem.
To the DM, can I go ahead and roll a sense motive?
You may.
Over what we discussed over there?
You may indeed.
A 12.
Modified 12?
Yeah, that was with a modifier of 9, so it tells you how badly I rolled.
Wow. God.
It's hard to tell. He's clearly... He's a politician. Mm-hmm. So, he could be hiding something from you. He could be completely legitimate, and you really don't have any way of knowing. Just based on the personality he has and the way he presents himself.
I believe that he's telling the truth as far as he knows it. Whether or not his liege lord has any real desire to stow away such a relic.
Or to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My personal feeling, as part of my mission in life, I think that we should go and find this relic, but I will not return it to them.
Mm.
It should be destroyed.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too. Like, I don't feel good about the idea of bringing it back to someone. I'm good with hunting it out and seeing what we could do. Well, not that I would use it, because I'm definitely not in that kind of person. But I don't know about giving it back to him, because I'm not sure who he's working for.
Smash it.
I believe. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're good at.
Yeah, smash good.
I suggest that we tell him that we're happy to go look for it for him and see if we can find it and leave it at that and let him think what he wants to think is going to happen after.
Are we assuming the 12 people that he's already sent are dead?
Oh, I'm sure the 12 people he sent are undead at this point.
Undead. Oh, right. Yeah. So somebody we think we, or, well, but we don't have any indications of that yet. Other than this weird storm, I guess that might have something to do with it.
Yes. It doesn't matter either way if they're alive, dead, or undead.
They're going to be in our way.
I have a duty to my God and my church to seek out this evil and destroy it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm with you too. So.
What are you thinking, Freya?
Oh, I'm for it.
Okay.
But I don't trust that guy.
No. I think that's pretty, you know.
I Is mean, he giving us money up front?
Oh, yeah. That We didn't negotiate that. He just said there would be money in it.
We didn't negotiate that. I wanted to go ahead and make sure that you all were okay with this first. I didn't want to go ahead and bring it back to him either. Right. I just wanted to go ahead and stroke his ego.
Yes.
Good. I mean, look at him. Like, you know, clearly he likes to have his ego, you know, pumped up.
So. All right. So. Well, I think we're all on board, yes.
Okay. Well, my good sir.
Yes.
I believe we've come to an accord, and we will certainly locate this item for you.
Ah, wonderful. That's good news.
Fantastic. So, what are we looking at in terms of payment, my friend?
Payment? I cannot promise you quite a hefty sum. Perhaps 4,000 gold pieces for the A piece.
That's
to your liking.
That doesn't sound too bad.
You can also trade in precious jewels, I believe. Perhaps I could even offer you some lesser items from the antiquity vaults, if you'd be interested in relics. I have a few that I can give away at my discretion.
Fantastic. I'm assuming none of these treasures and antiquities are with you now.
Yeah, of course not. They're in the vault. Why, I'm not there to take care of them, so I can't very well carry the vault with me.
silly me.
Well, actually, there is one, but it's Davenport.
Ah, okay. It is a remarkable feat of magic there.
Why,
I've never seen anything quite like it.
Oh, why, he's elegant. I had the best enchanter build him for me. Made out of solid mahogany, I'll tell you.
Oh, fantastic. Exquisite handiwork. Davenport, you must be very, very happy that your master crafted you so elegantly.
Davenport just kind of looks at you and goes...
I think Davenport's my kind of golem.
Well, he's a wine-serving golem, so he's not bad in my book.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he does. He drinks and he knows things, right?
There you go.
that's just what I do. I make references to things. All right, so I think we can all benefit for a good night of sleep, except for you, if you're going to spend 2 or 3 hours more going ahead and making sure your armor looks polished and pretty.
No, my armor's good. It's nice and dry. It wasn't about being pretty. It just needs to be functional. Not rusted.
Yeah, you know, everything that's functional for me is right up here.
Well, certainly, I would recommend waiting until the storm clears, of course, probably best until morning. I will have Davenport write up a contract for you to sign, and fill out we have a map. I think, Davenport, make a copy of the map we have, generalizing the basic area in which this ruin is likely to be found. We only have this one trapper's word to go on, but we believe it's the right general vicinity.
Can we get some of our payment up front for traveling costs?
Roll a...
Please don't make it charisma.
It's charisma.
Of course it's going to be charisma.
Yeah. Roll. Is there a persuade?
I think it's persuasion.
Yeah, roll a persuade.
So it's untrained. So what's your charisma score, Regina?
My charisma is 11.
So just roll a d20 and add nothing.
Okay. 15.
Not bad.
Yeah. That isn't bad.
Oh, man. I'm kind of motivated by money.
Well, I'm a dwarf, right? Aren't they the ones who
dug
too deep?
Yep, under the Lonely Mountain and all that other fun stuff.
He kind of looks at you and he's like,
I can respect what you're going for here, but you have to understand, I'm sending you after 12 people who I did pay up front, who probably died, at least left unfulfilling their contract. So I'm rather in the red for this particular venture. Not that I don't have the money, but that I don't want to spend any more. So, I would like some guarantee that you're able to fulfill your task to me, or at least that you will return and not simply disappear. So if you'd like to offer some sort of personal item as collateral to ensure that you do plan to at least return, or that I can at least sail if you die, then I can offer you 1,000 up front.
I don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I should say there's nothing really to spend it on out here.
I don't have, I'm not carrying anything other than my armor and my weaponry, and I'm not giving up either my axe or my short sword, so.
So you're saying...
I can assure you there is money to be had, and he kind of pulls out a large money pouch and just kind of tosses it in the air, and it's clearly full of coins, so he's shows that he's clearly got cash on hand. He's like, there will be plenty of reward to be had, and Should you find any of my missing men, if they're still alive, or if you can find identifying information from them, perhaps I'll throw in a bonus for them.
Okay.
Tiny.
All right. I think we have a deal, yes?
We have a deal. I stick out my tiny gnomish hand again.
He shakes it again.
Yay!
Well, I'm going to go to my room. Pleasure meeting all of you. I hope you survive and come back in the next few days.
We certainly hope so, too.
Yes.
I will have Davenport take care of all the relevant information for you. He'll be waiting out here in the morning for you to give it to you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Hey,
thank you, Davenport. Wonderful to meet you as well.
Davenport just kind of goes, just kind of walks sort of like C-3PO as they both kind of go up the stairs to the second floor and close the door behind them.
I think it's time to turn in.
Yes, I agree. I think we need our beauty rest.
So the rest of you go back up to your room. Your everything is set up for you, and turn in for a nice long rest to begin your adventure in the morning.
Yay!
Yay!
We will end the first part here and continue in the next part.
Huzzah!
Adventuring!
Make sure to go and like and comment on the Geek Embassy and let us know what you're thinking so far of our adventure and of our characters.
Keep your eyes out for the next installment coming soon to the same place.